when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie, and you're listening to Joblogs. Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between. Hey, thanks for listening. So this last month has been amazing. I went on a really awesome trip to the Middle East, to Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Turkey, Tel Aviv, and Cairo. And I came back so inspired. I met so many great professionals along the way. And so I started a new series on the website called Adventures Abroad that really highlights stories from young professionals working all over the world. So head over to joblogs.com to check that out. Today, I'm super excited to have Yushi Liu in the studio. He's a young professional who's garnered a following of 8,000 small business owners and entrepreneurs using Instagram. So let's get right into that interview. Hi, Yushi. Welcome to the studio. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation. So, Yushi, you are the founder and contributor at Entrepreneurs of New York, which is a Humans of New York style project that highlights entrepreneurs around New York, right?
Yes.
Around New York City. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Humans of New York, it is actually a photo blog and compilation book by Brandon Stanton that features like about 6,000 street portraits and interviews collected in New York City, right? So you took that concept and you involved it to spotlight stories from entrepreneurs and content creators around New York, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying I took that concept. It's more like I'm inspired by him.
Inspired by that concept. Okay. Very awesome. And so I actually reached out to you through Instagram initially. I saw that you spotlighted Gina and Wei, who were in the studio here for the first episode.
Yes.
I'm talking about Avantour. And I wanted to have you on the podcast. And that was interesting because you spotlighted me as well for the Create NYC Entrepreneurs of New York project. And so it kind of worked out in a really fun and interesting way. But your project, Entrepreneurs of New York, currently lives on Instagram under the handle Create NYC.
Yes.
And you've had over 225 entrepreneurial spotlights, really, really striking, beautiful imagery, different stories from different entrepreneurs. And you have like over 8,000 followers, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to chat a little bit about that project, about some of your inspiration and how you got started with
sure.
the idea.
Yeah. So this project I basically started in June last year, 2014.
Okay.
I was actually running my own startup and I was hitting walls. I didn't know what to do. I was literally at the edge of trying to see if I should go back to the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I belongs to this meetup group in New York City called the New York Tech Meetup.
Mm.
It's actually one of the largest meetup group in New York City. It has a mailing list of about like 23,000 people subscribing to it.
Wow.
And I'm on that list and I've seen people posting either ads or asking questions.
Mm.
So basically I'll reach out to those 23,000 people through three emails offering free photo service, because I understand that a lot of the startup founders in the New York NYC, you know, Silicon Alley in, you know, community, maybe they don't have $400 or $500 for a professional
for a photo shoot.
Headshot, exactly.
Okay.
And I know a little bit photos stuff from back in the college days, where I was shooting for the school for either sports events or school yearbook. So I know a little bit about photography. So I was like, I want to talk to you guys, mm-hmm. maybe try to pick your brains.
Okay.
So that's literally how the project started. But actually, at the beginning, the name is not Create NYC. It's actually my company name. It's just... This is sort of my approach trying to build up my community using these stories, sharing these stories. I had no... actually commercial interest in there anyway. So one day my friend turned to me, was like, why don't you change it to a more popular handle? I mean, especially you're not looking for money or anything, and just happened to Create NYC is still available. So I took that.
Wow.
And that's how everything got started.
So you essentially mailed this mailing list, offered to do free photography. This was at no cost, right?
No cost.
For young businesses, startups. And initially, when you started with that mailing list and kind of doing it under your company name, were you profiling the stories of the entrepreneurs as well? Because that's what you do now.
Yes.
You were.
I was doing exactly the same thing. And I realized everybody has a great story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I back then I knew I was going to keep doing this. It's mm-hmm. one of the projects I feel I'm able to help someone every day. So that's why I'm trying to post one per day, sort of trying to help one business, one entrepreneur to get some free exposure every day.
No, that is fantastic. That's so awesome. What inspired you to use the format that you use as you're profiling the different businesses? Because for those of you that haven't seen the page, again, it's Create NYC on Instagram. So check it out. You post a really striking, beautiful image of an entrepreneur, a business owner. And I mean, you guys really need to get online and check out these photos. They're phenomenal. But you also ask a couple strategic questions. I know that from having been spotlighted and featured. And you put a blurb about the business that isn't really what you'd always expect. It's not, you know, how'd your business get started or, you know, what's your biggest challenge? It's a lot of things that really, I think, get at the core of some of the thoughts, issues, challenges that business owners go through. So how did you come up with that format?
Yeah, basically, I guess it changed a little bit. You can see my early stage interviews were more like straight up, how did you get started, mm-hmm. those type of questions. Then I realized people can find those questions on their company website or about me page. People are not that attracted to it.
Yeah.
I sort of want to use this as a outlet for people who either think about getting into the entrepreneurial world or already in the world, mm-hmm. to get to know different industry through these little interviews.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to ask questions, not only business related questions. I'm also trying to, explore some different insights about different industries.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And I think you do that really well. I mean, a lot of the stories are moving. They're inspirational. Some of them are kind of tearjerkers even. So I think you've really gotten at the core of that really well. But, you know, what inspired you even to get into photography back in school? You said at the time you just sort of dabbled in it. And when did you realize you were good? Like, when did you realize this is something I'm actually really good at that I can offer as a service for young business owners and entrepreneurs?
I guess it's, till this day, I still don't like to call myself a photographer.
Really?
Because I've seen so many good photographers out there. I knew I'm not even close to their level. I guess Instagram played a big part of it, because I get to see and how other photographers around the globe take photos, and it's so different.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned so many little techniques, you know, different techniques or ways to take photos compared with your traditional, you know, up front, like straight up portrait shots.
Mm-hmm.
I try to use different techniques from the other Instagrammers I've seen through Instagram. I think that's what really inspired me, because before Instagram, I didn't know there's such ways to take beautiful poetry shots.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanna talk about Instagram a little bit, because you mentioned you were part of this tech mailing list, this tech meetup group. You also attend the Worldwide InstaMeets.
Yes.
Which, can you explain to the people who aren't familiar what those are, and also like how you've connected with different people in the Instagram community through this project?
Sure. I mean, besides Worldwide Instagram meetups, there's actually a lot of different meetups going on every weekend, especially in New York City. Basically, these meetups are people on Instagram. We usually follow a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. We admire their work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you realize they're actually in your city.
Yeah.
So you want to call them up and say, hey, guys, why don't we get together this weekend? Let's go shoot together.
Yeah.
That's actually how all these meetups started.
Oh, so people are getting together to shoot photos?
Just shoot photos.
Wow.
That was probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
Then now it's actually a change to sort of like invent for people to meet other people through photos.
So networking.
Yeah, networking.
Wow.
There's actually different meetups tackling different purposes.
Okay.
You will see photo meetups. You will see actually food-related meetups.
Oh, wow.
Because nowadays, a lot of restaurants, especially new restaurants, they usually invite these food bloggers, food Instagrammers, influencers to go check out their food or take nice photos.
Right.
So whenever these people post on their feed, thousands of people are seeing it.
Yeah, that is so genius. I actually visited Spot Dessert Bar the other day because you take such great photos there, and I was like, I have to have this dessert.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. Do you like it?
It was great. So you guys in New York City have to check out Spot Dessert Bar. I mean, they do like these really, really awesome, like Japanese fusion, I think, desserts that have look phenomenal. They look like plants and moss. I won't give it away. You have to check it out. But yeah, I mean that, you know, I definitely saw the effect of that when I saw your photos.
And Instagram is a growing community. Now, I think the number at the beginning of 2015 was 300 million registered users.
Wow.
And it's growing every day. And I remember I used to go to meetups with 4 or 5 people. Now, the last meetup I went, we have over 100 people showed up.
Wow.
And you literally get people from all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
There's lawyers, there's finance people, there's actually writers, stay-home mom, dad, whoever loves using Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we get together. And once in a while, we still do our smaller gathering, which is whenever we have time. It could be after work, could be early in the morning. We do like a lot of sunrise meetups.
Really, before work.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you're putting my personal Instagram use to shame. I feel like, you know, I have a personal page, and then I also have the branded page for job blogs. And I just made my personal page public. But I mean, previous to like having job blogs and kind of connecting with brands, I joke about this with my friends. It was like two completely different experiences. On the one hand, on my personal page, it's a lot of like memes and like funny little like pop culture things and like pictures of cats and stuff. But on job blogs, I found that as I start following more inspirational pages, photographers, people that travel around the world, it's a completely different user experience. And in connecting with those people, like I connected with you through Instagram, I think there's so much power, and there's a lot to be said about kind of curating who you're following. Like the same way your network matters in real life, it matters online. And I'm beginning to learn that.
I can give you one short story, actually true story, happened to me when I was struggling last year for my startup, because I'm in the restaurant industry, so I have to pitch to different restaurant owners. I used to send out 50-100 emails to different restaurants around New York City. I get about probably less than 5% response rate. I mean, actually some well, my friends are joking that 5% is actually a good number out of, you know, compared with other email marketing. But most of my responses are not very positive because they think I'm a sort of like a marketer.
Yeah. Like spam-ish. Yeah.
So then I started messaging people, leaving comments on people's Instagram page. And so far, a month into this project, I would say my response rate is over 98%.
From Instagram or from Instagram, email?
From Instagram.
Wow.
So basically, I think I would credit this to Instagram, the platform, because it only takes them one click away to go to my page and check out who I am.
Exactly.
And see if this project is a legit project.
Exactly.
So gives a lot of credibility to it. That's why now I actually don't even email people.
Just Instagram
because
that's phenomenal.
A lot of times and also business owners nowadays understand how important Instagram is.
Yeah,
so they're actually on Instagram a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's how I catches their attention.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Can you share some of those strategies you're using to engage people on Instagram, though? Because you launched the project last June, 2014. Yeah. You have over 8,000 followers today. I mean, that is incredible. That's phenomenal. I think a lot of that has to do with how striking your photography is and how interesting the interviews are. But beyond that, how are you engaging people? How are you getting followers? And also, how are you getting, like, building a community of repeat engaged people that are, you know, connecting with your content?
Yeah, I guess you have to have a unique content. So that's what I guess drives me. I make sure all my posts are meaningful. Not to post just because I have to post one per day. That's actually another advice from my friends who are in the social media industry. Just try to post quality content, and people appreciate your work. They know it's quality content. It's not a regramming.
Yeah.
It's not a reposting.
Yeah.
And I make sure I do my work. I actually had a couple incidents that I already had an interview done, had my photo shoot, and I wasn't happy with the photos I got from the interview. Then I have to call the restaurant owner back to reschedule for another time for another photo shoot. Actually happened to me twice.
I love that, though, because it speaks to the quality. I mean, that's something my audio engineer Adrian does. You know, if we record a session and something's not right, we come back to redo it. And I think great quality work takes that honesty with yourself and
exactly.
saying, I need to do this again.
Especially nowadays with all the technology, with all the social media, everything moves so fast. And people are getting so much information in every day, and they want something more organic, authentic.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, my strategy. Try to be authentic. Try to be unique.
But also, like, more tactically, and that's kind of my favorite word on this this show, because I like to break it down. You do a little bit of hashtagging. You're on other people's pages. You are seeking out interviews. Like, what are some of the things you do to really build a community?
First of all, hashtagging. I remember when I first started Instagram, like, 2 years ago with my personal account. I seen people use hashtag, but I didn't use any. Maybe that's one of the reasons my personal account doesn't have a lot of followers. Then, because I have the mindset that using hashtag is not cool. People don't use hashtag.
Yeah,
and you see
too.
All these famous, popular celebrities, they never use hashtag.
Yeah.
Then one of my friends actually reminded me, who has millions of followers, he said there's 300 million registered user on Instagram.
Right.
If you don't use hashtag, how can people see you?
Yeah.
If people can't even see you, you're not even gonna get embarrassed if you using a lot of hashtags.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, there's a strategy behind using hashtag. I never use hashtag like the popular ones like follow for follow, those things.
Right, right.
Because I'm trying to tackle in the people who's interested in the entrepreneurial world.
Right.
Or the ones already in the startup world.
Right.
So I try to use hashtags that's can reach to them.
Exactly.
I guess that's the key.
Yeah.
Try to be smart about it and try to use a hashtag that can reach to your target audience.
Yeah.
Like, for example, New York City. These are very popular hashtag. Gets thousands of posts every day,
right.
Probably every hour.
Right.
So if I use New York City, my posts will get buried within a couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Tons
and
of other posts.
A lot of people who are using those are marketers.
Right.
So I don't want that. I want to reach to the people maybe live in New York, have a deeper connection with New York City. So maybe I'll use hashtags like I love New York City.
Right.
Or Startup NYC.
Right.
These more specific hashtags that can target specific audience. And the other thing is, when you get to a point with a certain number of followers, I guess your focus is shifting. It's not about how many followers you have.
Mm.
It's all about how can you engage with your followers.
Mm, right.
You want to be able to, get likes means people appreciate your work, or at least they see your work.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the key thing I'm trying to do. And like I mentioned to you before, a lot of times I get frustrated because certain posts didn't get a lot of likes.
Yeah.
Not because I'm trying to fulfill my personal ego that, I need a lot of 1,000 likes. No, it's because I get to talk to a lot of these entrepreneurs, and I know a lot of them hoping I can give them some exposure.
Right.
So more people can see it, more people could potentially check out their business.
Right.
If I only get not a lot of likes, sometimes demotivates them.
They
will think maybe my story is not
as interesting
as you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Exactly, inspiring as other people. I don't want to discourage.
But I mean, it's the burden of that really on you. And I think that kind of segues really well into, something that I wanted to discuss, because, you and I, we sort of feature other people's stories in different ways. You know, I do it through the podcast, through my website.
Yep.
You do it through Create NYC, the Entrepreneurs of New York platform. And a lot of times our own stories can be subdued. I know, like in high school, I remember I was working in the drama club, and I never wanted to act on stage. I never wanted to be a part of the cast. I loved being behind the scenes, working on AV, doing things to support in the background. But sometimes when you're in the background, your story gets lost. And we both, as businesses, as brands, it's important to still be able to promote yourself and what you're doing, so that those opportunities and synergies roads that might lead to monetizing later down the line become available. So what's been the balance for you between profiling and spotlighting other people's stories, but also making sure you're showcasing your own?
I guess, first of all, as you know, this project is solely nonprofit or not-for-profit project. I had never had an intention to monetize this project. However, I actually tell this story to every single people I interview, that the only thing I want to get out of this project is some credibility for myself. Because I've been through the tough days. I've been through the days I used to knock on doors of different restaurants, try to pitch to the owner, but they didn't want to talk to me.
Pitch your business concept.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because I don't have any credibility to myself, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
So I want to use this project to build up a little bit of credibility for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So at least down the road, when I'm trying to pitch to these business owners, they are will be willing to spend 5 minutes just talking to me, either trying to get a free shout out or, you know, they like me as a person. I guess that's my strategy, just building the project while building a little bit of credibility for myself.
You know, you spoke about shout outs and, you know, business owners want exposure, entrepreneurs, startups, they want those followers, they want those likes on that photo, and they want eventually those leads back to their pages and their businesses. So how do you balance bringing on people and keeping the stories authentic and true to your vision and mission of really sharing those authentic and inspirational stories with promoting someone's brand or business? Because even in my short time doing the podcast, you know, you will get the people that reach out to you that are kind of solely interested in just being promoted, getting the leads, getting traffic to their sites. And sometimes they're not sharing as much of the story. So how do you balance that?
I usually ask more questions when once they send their answers to me, or and I'll ask then deeper questions. I'll start asking why do you say that, why did you make that decision,
right?
And that's actually how you sort of like not breaking them down but like try to get the deeper story out of them,
right? Go beneath the surface and pull the things that tell a little bit more of a story.
And also I'm trying to be straightforward to everyone. I actually tell them during my interview that if it's anything sounded like pre-script, people won't believe you. I mean, we're already at this age that first of all, people especially brands are using their stories to sell themselves, which is understandable, but I'm trying to just bring them more authentic, more personal side of a story, and help them use those story to sell themselves.
And I like that you feature, you know, each of your pictures for the most part feature the person. So, you know, there's always a personal element to the photos. You're not showing us just a storefront or, you know, a plate of food at a restaurant. There's always some human element in there that connects us with the people and with their stories. So you're actually hosting, you know, a meetup for your network, for Entrepreneurs of New York, people that you've featured in the past. So I want to talk a little bit about taking kind of the online success, the Instagram success, and taking it offline to really foster and create those connections. What inspired you to even host the meetup? Was it some of the meetups you'd attended in the past and the connections you formed there?
Yeah, so basically, I'm hosting one for all the people I interviewed in the past next week. Unfortunately, you won't be there.
I know, and I think actually by the time this episode goes live, it would have happened already, so good luck.
So it was actually inspired by my mentor. His name's Adam Grant. He's a award-winning professor in the Wharton Business School, which is UPenn. I was lucky to be one of his students when I was in my undergrad, which was at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I was one of his students. We still keep in touch because he's a business psychology professor, and we still get together once a year, 15 of us from UNC, 15 students from University of Michigan, and 15 students from UPenn. We get together once a year, sort of like talk about different books, articles, movement in the psychology world. So every year at the end of the meeting, it was sort of like our tradition to ask around so you can speak freely about what do you need help now. Even though we only have like usually like 20, 30 people, I've never seen an unanswered question or request. It was always someone knows somebody can help this person.
And so you're connecting, you know, someone asks a question, you might know someone that you can connect them with.
Exactly. And the was p- purely just trying to help out.
Yeah, and like nothing out of it.
Nobody's expecting anything.
That is amazing.
I was trying to apply that philosophy into all these meetups I'm hosting, which is also heavily influenced by my mentor, Adam, because he also wrote a book called The Give and Take, which is a New York Times and the Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Yeah.
You guys should definitely check it out. It's called The Give and Take.
Okay.
He did a lot of study on all the successful entrepreneurs, and he found that a lot of these most successful entrepreneurs in the world, they all have one thing in common, is they are all willing to help people. So I'm trying to bring that philosophy to all the offline events I'm hosting, which is all free. Basically, I'm trying to get all the people in one room, and people can speak freely. They can share about what area are they struggling now?
Yeah, what are they working on?
Or what can they help others?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just trying to bring back that philosophy of helping people without the expectation of return.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you know, in the last episode, I sat down with my best friend, Aaron, and we talked about the importance of having, you know, friends that are sort of like in your business network and business circle, because it's kind of no holds barred, and you can have candid conversations and you can be a little bit more transparent. But I'm also finding that networks and communities like the one you're mentioning that you're trying to build with Entrepreneurs of New York are, there are ways to do that as well. Because when you come and, you know, you all have similar stories, similar missions, similar goals, challenges and obstacles, you kind of put aside the, you know, the walls and the barriers to entry that might exist in more of a business setting, and you relax a little bit and you help each other out. So
And
I think those are so important.
Yeah. And plus the people, most of the people I invited are the ones I've been featured.
Right.
So they sort of already know each
other. There's a connection. Exactly.
Like maybe know a piece of their story.
Story. Yeah.
So that's,
I love it.
I feel like they sort of should, well, let their guard
down
a little bit when they try to network with each other.
Yeah.
I've been through many different New York City, typical New York City networking events.
Yeah.
People just grab
a
bunch
of, right?
You know, just grab a lot of drinks, exchange cards, and forget about each other.
It's transactional, you know?
Exactly.
And people are very guarded, I find, at those events, too. They don't want to give you their card or tell you how to get in touch with them.
They
people are a little bit more.
They sort of like, I'm giving you 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm giving each person 5 minutes. So my event's more like we go straight to the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Each person's gonna share about their story and talk about what do they need help now and what can they help others.
What's been the most inspiring interview? Like your favorite one? I know from following your page, I think I know which one you might mention, but
yeah, I mean that
the Big Bird.
The Big Bird in Central Park.
Tell us about Big Bird.
Yeah, I met the Big Bird last summer. I was just walking around Central Park because I know Humans of New York, Brandon gets a lot of interviews in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
But because a lot of those people he interviewed are just you know, random people walk around the park, but I'm trying to tackling people who are entrepreneurs.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of option.
Right.
Either the people selling hot dogs in Central Park or the tour guides. I just came across the Big Bird. He was just sitting there by himself, and he wasn't aggressively approaching all the people passing, which is very unique,
because
I've been to Times Square. I've seen people try to block tourists, try to take photo with them, try to get money.
Yeah.
Then he's just sitting there quietly and has a banner saying $3 for photo.
I want you guys to go on the Instagram page and see the photo for yourselves, and maybe I'll repost it if that's okay, so people can see it. But I mean, like, how it's like a couple feet tall. Like, this is a massive.
Oh, it's a
big
huge
bird
one.
Costume.
It's 7 feet tall and probably six feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize it's so there's so much detail on the custom, and it's not something you can buy from like Party City or you can order from eBay. Then I think the thing that drives me to approach him is there was one girl was getting a photo with him, and at the end he actually gave the girl a little toy, which is really interesting to me, because I don't really see that. Usually you see people get the money then say goodbye. So I started talking to him and approach him, show him my blog, and he started talking to me. Then I realized there's a lot of story behind him. He was a restaurant owner of two restaurants. He designed the entire custom by himself,
the costume. And like he built it,
he built
the
entire
everything thing
by himself, and because it's summer, it's hot. He actually designed inside of the custom. There's a
insulation.
Insulation, and it's also all 3D printed.
Wow.
Structure by himself.
Wow.
And he put a little like aircon AC in there as well.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. So he did everything by himself. I realized it's like when people put their passion into something, even though it's just, you know, dress up as a big bird trying to get the money from tourists, tips from tourists, you can do differently.
You could do a basic costume, or you could do that where you put your heart and soul into it. And I think that shows in your business, in your service, and whatever you're doing.
That's
a really profound.
And he wasn't like discouraged because he's dressing up as a cartoon character, try to make money.
He wasn't positive.
He's positive about it. He knows he needs the money. And he knows it's not going to be a long-term job. But while he's doing it, he's trying to make the best out of it. Even create a Facebook page.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I've already seen people posting photo of him all over the internet.
That's beautiful. And so now he's on your page, and you're driving some awareness and some traffic to his effort as well. That's really a beautiful story. So, you know, what on that note, what advice would you give to other content creators looking to grow their platforms online? You've leveraged Instagram, I think, in a very unique and powerful way. And, you know, like you said, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people doing the same thing out there. But then, you know, there are also people like me who initially, you know, you use it for personal use. You don't think about the power and the growth potential on a platform like that. So what would you say to other entrepreneurs, other, you know, business owners, or even individuals and brands who are thinking about growing their online presence?
I would say, first of all, understand your business and understand how much energy, money you want to put into this project. So far, I only have a Instagram page. I have a Facebook page, but I wasn't able to keep it up. One of the main reasons, because it's still, I'm the only one doing this project. And it does take a lot of time. I know a lot of business owners tend to be like, okay, we talk about social media marketing, so let's get on every platform, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, everything.
LinkedIn.
But end of the day, it's not about how many platforms you're on. It's about if you can really capitalize on one platform, the one you really know about and good at it.
And the one that I think makes the most sense for your audience, right?
Exactly.
You have striking visuals. Instagram makes sense. Instagram isn't always the answer.
Exactly. A lot of restaurant owners told me that Instagram's the most engaging platform for, you know, restaurant world.
Right.
Because it's very visual. It's you can
food.
See
the Who doesn't
food.
Love a food photo?
Exactly. So know what platform you need to be on, and know your audience, and try to create unique content. A lot of people, I understand there's an easier way to do it. You can always repost other people's photos. But end of the day, giving you a couple likes, That's not what you want. As a business owner, you want that to drive you business.
Yeah.
So in order to drive you business, you need to create your own content.
Yeah.
So you need to make your audience to feel connected with you.
I think what's awesome about your platform and something that I've heard from a lot of tech disruptors in Silicon Valley is when you can highlight other people's stories, that's when they connect the most with your content. And I don't necessarily mean like through profiles like you do or interviews like I do, but people like to see themselves in content. So for instance, Tumblr or actually not even Tumblr, but like a Snapchat or Twitter or Instagram, you know, they're platforms that allow you to publish your content. YouTube especially, booming with video. You see yourselves in the content, so you're more likely to repost, to share, to send to your friends. And I see that happen a lot with your photos and your content. You know, people are in the comments tagging other people. Check this interview out. Check this story out. Because they relate to an aspect of what's being featured there.
Exactly. And go back to your point. If you're reposting other people's photo, even it's amazing photo, people not gonna tag and repost because they know it's not original content.
Yeah, and there's nothing that connects them with it. So I think that's definitely a huge concept. Love it. This has been really awesome. So I'm actually going to switch gears. Is there anything else you want us to know about you, about Entrepreneurs of New York, Create NYC?
I would say for people who's interested in getting into the entrepreneurial world, there's actually a lot of support out there. If you just have to Google it, and don't be shy to start any project.
Yeah.
The key to any successful project or recommendations, whatever you call it, out of all these people I interview is actually do it.
Get started.
Get it started. Yeah. Exactly. Once you get it started, you will figure out a way to make it happen. But if you don't start it, if you just keep thinking about the different possibilities might not work, it will never work.
Yeah.
I would say just get started first. And reach out. Feel free to reach out to people. There's a lot of resources out there, both from the startup community, even the government.
Hmm.
There's tons of programs actually offer free counseling services. Like a lot of people would think, oh, I need a lot of money to hire a lawyer for consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Even before I get started, maybe I should patent this thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Don't worry about those.
Yeah.
Go reach out. There's actually free consultation offered by the government, by the city. And if you're a student, you're actually gold. You have so much resources. Reach out to your professors. Reach out to your school departments. They are there to help you.
Thank you so much, Yushi. This
Thank
was
you for
amazing.
Having me.
Share with us where we can follow Create NYC and Entrepreneurs in New York, as well as any of your personal or business handles.
Yeah, so basically we're mainly based on Instagram. The handle is Create NYC. So check us out.
Yep, and I'll be sure to include all of that on the episode page so you guys can click and visit pretty easily.
Thank you.
How can we get in touch with you if we want to refer, you know, business owners
So we have a dedicated email for the Create NYC project, which is just to Create NYC, just T-O, then createnyc@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Joblogs. If you liked this episode and have been enjoying the podcast, then consider rating us on the iTunes Store. For more amazing content, including the Adventures Abroad Spotlight that I mentioned earlier, visit joblogs.com. That's joblogues.com. You can find all of our social media handles there, as well as get in touch with me. Thank you to Adrian Wagner for producing this episode, and a special thanks to Mercy Sound Studios, located in Manhattan. See you next time!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.